Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, February 23rd, 2021. Coming up this hour,
tech shares drop again as bond yields and commodities jump.
Fed Chair Jay Powell kicks off 2 days of testimony on Capitol Hill.
The top economic advisor at the White House brushes off inflation concerns.
And the U.S. marks a grim milestone as coronavirus deaths officially surpass 500,000.
Donald Trump's tax returns will soon be in the hands of a New York prosecutor. And recreational marijuana is legal in New Jersey, but you won't be able to buy it for a while. I'm Amy Morris. More ahead.
I'm John Stash, Aaron Sports. The Knicks and Nets both have home games tonight, and there will be fans in the arenas.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Interactive Brokers. IBKR charges margin loan rates from 0.75% to 1.59%. Rates subject to change. Learn more at ibkr.com/compare.
And U.S. futures are falling with tech shares leading declines. It is 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 29 points this morning. Dow futures down 67, and NASDAQ futures down 244. The DAX in Germany is down 1.4%. The 10-year Treasury up 3/32. The yield 1.35%. The yield on the 2-year 0.11%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.9% or 54 cents at $62.22 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2% or $3.60 at $18.04.80 an ounce. And the euro 1.2145 against the dollar. The yen 105.26. Nathan.
Hey, Karen, we're coming off the worst day for the NASDAQ in nearly a month. Tech shares are being hammered as bond yields and commodity prices jump. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the latest. John.
Nathan, the global recovery has investors betting on a rising inflation rate that is hitting stocks. It's most evident in bond yields and commodities. The gap between 5- and 30-year yields touched the highest level in more than 6 years. Copper extended gains. The metal, considered an economic bellwether, has doubled since March, and oil is at the highest level since 2018. But it's not all negative for stocks, according to Morgan Stanley chief equity strategist Mike Wilson.
I mean, there are going to be companies that benefit from higher rates and higher commodity prices. So materials, metals and mining, obviously the banks, clearly some of the cyclical parts of technology.
Well, concern is also surfacing that stocks may have already priced in much of the global recovery. There's also worry that central banks may start reconsidering emergency programs that have supported global markets. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Concerns over inflation are bubbling up as Jay Powell heads to Capitol Hill. The Fed chair begins the first of 2 days of congressional testimony this morning. We get a preview from Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee.
The Fed chairman is not going to back down, not going to change his mind on the path of rates, and not going to hint at any change. Yes, yields are up, yet the market's assessment of inflation concerns is falling, and financial conditions are as loose as ever. So you can expect the chairman to stick to his story. We're a long way from reaching our inflation and employment targets, so we're not contemplating any changes now. Powell is going to be dragged into the debate over the Biden economic rescue plan. Democrats will want him to repeat his endorsement of additional fiscal action. Republicans will ask if he thinks the inflation danger is too great. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Michael, thank you. And Powell appears before the Senate Banking Committee today. Join us when that hearing wraps up for an interview with the committee chair, Sherrod Brown. He speaks with David Westin on Bloomberg's Balance of Power at 12:30 p.m. Wall Street time.
In the meantime, the chief economic advisor at the White House is pushing President Biden's stimulus plan. Brian Deese says jobs are a more urgent risk than inflation right now.
We take very seriously the risks, the economic risks that are out there. We spend a lot of time thinking about them, a lot of time worrying about them. That's our job. But as we assess and balance those risks, we believe that the risks of further scarring in the labor market, the risks of further extending this economic pain, outweigh the risks of doing too much.
Deese made those comments in an interview with Bloomberg's Jonathan Farrow. Tune in for more of that conversation later this morning on Bloomberg Surveillance. You can catch the full interview with the National Economic Council director. It's coming up at 8 a.m. Wall Street time.
And turning to the pandemic now, the U.S. has reached a grim milestone in the fight against COVID-19. 500,000 American lives have now been lost to the virus. And President Biden marked the moment with a message of sorrow and hope. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The president says the job now is to grieve for the dead, but take care of the living.
To remember so we can heal, to find purpose in the work ahead, to show that there is light in the darkness. This nation will smile again. This nation will know sunny days again. This nation will know joy again.
He says division in the country must end. We must fight together by getting vaccinated and wearing masks. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Ed. Turning to the markets now, Bitcoin is falling once again. Right now, it's around 48,000 after surging above 58,000 just this weekend. That move came after Tesla added the digital currency to its balance sheet. Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates talked Bitcoin with Bloomberg's Emily Chang.
Elon has tons of money and he's very sophisticated. So, you know, I don't worry that, you know, his Bitcoin will sort of randomly go up or down. I do think people get bought into these manias who may not have as much money to spare. So I'm not bullish on Bitcoin. And, you know, my general thought would be that, you know, if you have less money than Elon, you should probably watch out.
Speaking of Elon Musk and his money, the Tesla CEO lost $15 billion on paper yesterday after shares of the electric car maker dropped more than 8%. They're tumbling again this morning, down 6.5%.
And we have breaking news crossing the Bloomberg on Home Depot. Home Depot reporting fourth quarter comp sales that easily beat analyst estimates, up 24.5%. It's not providing guidance for the current fiscal year, but its chief financial officer did say when it comes to comparable sales growth, it'll be flat to slightly positive for the fiscal year. And shares of Home Depot are lower this morning right now, down 1.8%.
And in Europe, shares of HSBC are down almost 3%. Adjusted pre-tax profits slid 50% in the fourth quarter. Europe's largest bank says it plans to resume dividend payments, though not at the same level as in the past. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. It brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street and Amy Morris with a look at what's happening in New York and around the world. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Nathan. Donald Trump's tax returns will soon be in the hands of a New York prosecutor looking into possible criminal charges against him. The Supreme Court rejected the former president's bid to block Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance Jr. from subpoenaing Donald Trump's accounting firm. Vance will be receiving the returns as part of a criminal probe that could be one of the biggest legal threats facing the former president and the Trump organization. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy has signed bills to legalize recreational marijuana. The bills will create licensing and distribution and allow some criminal records to be erased.
Those who had been subject to an arrest for petty marijuana possession, an arrest that may have kept them from a job or the opportunity to further their education, will be able to get relief and move forward.
Sales will be allowed in about 12 months. New York City police will stay out of many mental health crises calls, and social workers will respond instead in parts of northern Manhattan starting this spring. Some important specifics remain to be seen in practice. Mental health advocates have hailed the idea, but they expressed some reservations about how the city is structuring it. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo touring a mass vaccination site at Medgar Evers College in Brooklyn yesterday says it is the largest vaccination site in the state of New York.
This vaccination site can do 3,000 vaccines per day, 21,000 vaccines per week.
A second site will open at York College in Queens tomorrow. A new COVID-19 nasal spray vaccine is set to start its clinical trial this week. Dr. Sarah Brown is Senior Director for Vaccine Development at Altimmune.
With oral polio vaccine, that really generates that mucosal immunity and is used in places where there's still poliovirus in circulation because of that really critical issue of preventing transmission.
Researchers say the nasal spray neutralized the virus and added an additional layer of protection in the nose and upper respiratory system. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Amy. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshire.
Good morning, Nathan. It'll be a welcome sight and sound tonight at the Garden and the Barclays Center. fans. They have certainly been missed for almost a year. Not a lot of fans, only a couple thousand will be let in at the Garden. They'll get to see Steph Curry in Golden State. Knicks trying to get to 500. The Nets are back home from the best road trip in franchise history. They went 5-0 out west, and they'll take on Sacramento. NBA upset last night in L.A. Washington beat the Lakers in overtime. Lakers missed the injured Anthony Davis. Without him, they've lost three in a row. Islanders at the Coliseum got a power play goal with 5 minutes left from J.G. Pageau. They beat Buffalo 3-2. The Devils will host the Sabres tonight. State of New Jersey announced it will start letting in fans next week. And when the Rangers play tomorrow in Philadelphia, they'll be without their best player. Bizarre story involving Artemi Panarin. He's been accused by a former coach in his native Russia of beating up a girl a decade ago when he was 19. Panarin and the Rangers put out a statement denying the charge and saying it all stems from Panarin's criticism of the Kremlin. He is said to be shaken by the accusation. He is taking a leave of absence. Seattle Mariners president Kevin Mather has resigned. He made a speech where, among other things, he criticized a Latin and Japanese player for their inability to speak English. The Mets working out in Port St. Lucie, including the prize off-season acquisition, shortstop Francisco Lindor.
Today was the first day we took the field as a team, and it was fun. It was fun to be around the guys, to see what everybody's got, and the work ethic I've been seeing from the guys have been really, really good. You know, the only thing that makes you want to do is elevate your game and get better.
The Yankee camp rookie pitcher Clark Schmidt, who was being considered for a spot in the rotation as an elbow injury, not a season ender, but he will not be on the opening day roster. John Stash, our Bloomberg Sports, maybe.
And John, the NBA is making the case to fans that COVID vaccines are a slam dunk. Julius Erving is the latest NBA legend to reveal he's gotten a shot. In a video distributed by the association, the 71-year-old, affectionately known as Dr. J, said, quote, "We were never afraid to take the big shot," end quote. Leagues released videos in an effort to help encourage the public to receive the vaccine when they're eligible and when it's available in their communities. NASDAQ futures lower by 1.7%, down 229 points. S&P futures down 29, Dow futures down 89 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, intervals of clouds and some sun today, low 40s, partly sunny, upper 40s tomorrow, but we'll be back in the low 40s, partly mostly sunny on Thursday. Currently 36 and fair in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are dropping along with U.S. stock index futures as the jump in bond yields and commodity prices continues to hammer technology shares. NASDAQ futures, they're down 1.5% or 202 points. This after the NASDAQ posted its longest losing streak in 4 months. S&P futures are down 24 points. Dow futures down 67. The DAX in Germany is down 1.3%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 1.36%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.11%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.8% or 48 cents at $62.19 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% or $2.10 at $18.06.30 an ounce. The euro 1.2147 against the dollar. British pound 1.4081. And the yen at 105.31. Home Depot reporting comparable sales for the fourth quarter that beat the average analyst's estimate. It did not provide a forecast for the current fiscal year. Its CFO only saying that comp sales growth will be flat to slightly positive. Its shares are down 1.8% in early trading. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
Karen, today's hearing on Capitol Hill into the deadly January 6th riot will feature four law enforcement officials, three of whom resigned their posts and some of whom have never before spoken publicly about the attack. The jet engine fan blade that broke loose on a United Airlines plane on Saturday resulted from metal fatigue. NTSB Chairman Robert Sumwalt says a preliminary investigation of fragments suggests a crack that grew gradually over time prompted the failure. Facebook will end its news blackout in Australia. The government has agreed to amend legislation forcing Facebook and Google to pay local publishers for content. And in sports, the Knicks and Nets each play at home tonight in front of fans for the first time. The Wizards beat the Lakers, and on the ice, the Islanders win. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Amy, thank you. It is 6:19 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager. We want to turn our attention now to the pandemic, as the U.S. has crossed the 500,000 mark when it comes to coronavirus deaths. But there are signs of turnaround in the fight against COVID-19. And for more, we're pleased to be joined again by Dr. Stuart Ray, Vice Chair of Medicine at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. Great, as always, to have you with us, Doctor. And those signs of turnaround come in the slowing of case counts and death counts that we've seen over the last few days and maybe really the last couple of weeks here. Is this a trajectory that we should expect to continue?
Well, I think it's a trajectory we can hope to continue. And I think that if we continue to do this, then we could see ourselves getting into a state where we could begin to relax restrictions even further. I think the question is whether we will sustain it over the next month or so, thinking about places like Texas with the tremendous disruptions they've had and other places. I don't think we have a solution in place that's causing this. I think it's changes in behavior that have driven this downturn.
What's your biggest area of concern that could lead the trajectory to go the way we don't want it to? Is it lack of mitigation, or is it these new strains that we're seeing?
I think it's sort of that perfect storm that we have a lot of different viral strains or viral variants that are circulating at a time when we don't have sufficient levels of immunity to really prevent widespread outbreaks. And I think that people became cautious after the holiday spike, and that's been great. We've seen reduction in rates, but we're still at a rate of about 4.9% positivity nationwide, and testing trends are going downward. And so we may be a little bit blind to nascent outbreaks that are happening. And if people start traveling again, and if they don't wear masks properly, et cetera, then we're going to see a rise, I think. I think if we can get to summer with low rates like we have right now, then we could see widespread vaccination leading closer to herd immunity, although we won't even start vaccinating children until late summer or fall.
How are we doing when it comes to surveillance of new and emerging strains? Is our system set up to do that in a comprehensive way?
Yeah, I think comprehensive is the problematic word there. It's not comprehensive. I think the CDC has ramped up efforts. I think a lot of individual states and other groups, academics, have ramped up their sequencing. But it's really not a population-based sample in the way we'd like to have it. And so I think it's possible with the very high number of cases we've had in the U.S., the large number of immunocompromised people who probably are the sort of incubators for these divergent variants, that we may have difficult to manage variants on our own soil, and we just don't know it yet.
We're going to hear from representatives of Pfizer and Moderna in a hearing on Capitol Hill today. In their prepared testimony, they're saying that they could have 140 million more doses over the next 5 weeks on their target of 220 million shots by the end of next month. Is that a timeline that's realistic, do you think?
Well, you know, I think they'd best know their timeline. It seems possible. The manufacturer of these has gone much faster. You know, it happened in 2020 that we were shocked how fast they could do this. So I know they've been ramping up their capacity, and I think it's great that this could happen. I think we'll see the Janssen vaccine come before the vaccines panel later this week. And if that gets approved in this ensuing week, then we could see a huge increase in the availability of vaccine doses. It looks like vaccine rates are flattening at about 1.5 million a day. If we can get up to 4 million a day, we could really see ourselves getting a lot of progress in the next couple months.
In our last 30 seconds here, would that mean that we could see a more widespread lifting of restrictions that could last a while?
I think so. I think the cautionary note is some of the outbreaks we've seen in places like Iowa in children and schools, and whether that becomes a problem. Certainly kids don't go without complication, and MISC and other syndromes do keep us cautious. We have to keep an eye on that.
Yeah, as we wait for testing of these vaccines to begin in children. Dr. Stuart Ray, Vice Chair of Medicine at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, thank you again for your time. So far, more than 64 million vaccine doses have been administered in this country. You can follow the effort on the Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker at Bloomberg.com. NASDAQ futures down 1.5% now, down 197 points. S&P futures down 24 points, Dow futures down 62. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. We'll have intervals of clouds and sun today, low 40s. Partly sunny, upper 40s tomorrow, but we'll be back in the low 40s Thursday under a partly to mostly sunny sky. Currently 36 degrees in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures falling again after the worst day for the NASDAQ in nearly a month. A jump in bond yields and commodity prices is hammering technology shares. We get the latest live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
And Karen, the gap between 5- and 30-year yields touched the highest level in more than 6 years. Copper extended gains, while crude oil hit the highest level since 2018. Yields and commodities are being driven higher from the so-called reflation trade, the idea that economic recovery is gaining steam. But that can be a double-edged sword as higher inflation cuts into corporate profits. There are also concerns among stock investors that central banks may start reconsidering emergency programs that have supported global markets. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, John, thanks. Investors are also focused on congressional testimony from Jay Powell. The Fed chair speaks to the Senate Banking Committee today and a House panel tomorrow. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
Powell is expected to pledge the Fed will press on with COVID-19 emergency measures. The Fed semiannual report to Congress out Friday sees significant risks of bankruptcies and plummeting commercial real estate values. Businesses have taken on more debt, historic levels, as they weather COVID-19, encouraged in part by government and central bank loan programs. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thanks. And join us after today's hearing for an interview with the committee chair, Sherrod Brown. He speaks with David Westin on Bloomberg Balance of Power at 12:30 p.m. Wall Street time.
Powell's testimony comes as the U.S. passes a grim milestone. More than 500,000 Americans have now died from COVID-19. President Biden ordered flags on federal property lowered to half staff for 5 days to honor those who have passed.
We'll remember each person we've lost, the lives they lived, the loved ones they left behind. We will get through this, I promise you. But my heart aches for you, those of you who are going through it right now. May God bless you all, particularly those who've lost someone.
And the U.S. accounts for almost 20% of global fatalities. That's more than twice the number of deaths than the next closest country, Brazil. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are lower, down 21 points. Dow futures down 41. NASDAQ futures falling, down 212 points or 1.6%. DAX in Germany is down 1.2%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 1.36%, and the yield on the 2-year, 0.11%. And straight ahead, we have your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
It's now 6:33 on Wall Street. Let's check back in with Amy Morris for what's going on in New York and around the world. Amy.
Nathan, Attorney General nominee Merrick Garland appears to be heading toward confirmation in the Senate.
The president nominates the Attorney General to be the lawyer, not for any individual, but for the people of the United States.
Garland told senators the work of the Justice Department has to be guided by the rule of law. Manhattan District Attorney fought for a year and a half to get access to former President Trump's tax records, and now, thanks to a U.S. Supreme Court ruling, he'll soon have them. Former prosecutors say the records could give investigators new tools to determine whether Donald Trump lied to lenders or tax officials. Recreational marijuana is legal now in New Jersey, but it will be months before sales can begin. Governor Phil Murphy has signed bills to create licensing and distribution of marijuana.
This process may have had its fits and starts, but it is ending in the right place.
and I firmly believe this process has ended in laws that will serve as a national model.
The legislation will also decriminalize hashish and pot possession and create a pathway to vacate some current sentences and allow some criminal records to be erased. New Jersey Transit commuter bus and train fares will hold at 2016 rates in Governor Phil Murphy's state budget for the fiscal year that starts July 1st. Administration officials tell Bloomberg News Murphy will introduce his $44.8 billion fiscal 2022 budget today. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says New York City movie theaters can open their doors again at limited capacity starting March 5th.
Movie theaters in New York will be brought in line with the rest of the state. 25% capacity, no more than 50 people per screening, masks, assigned seating, social distancing.
It's been nearly a year since movie theaters were shuttered, along with concert venues and nightclubs. And starting next week, fans will be allowed to attend sports and entertainment events at New Jersey's largest facilities in limited numbers. Face coverings and social distancing will be mandatory. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Amy. 6:35 on Wall Street. Here's John Stashire with Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. The fans are back. First time in almost a year, the Garden and Barclays will be at 10% capacity tonight. It's only a couple of thousand fans, but it's a start. Knicks will host Golden State. Both teams much improved from a year ago. They're both right around 500. Red hot Nets go for a 7th straight win. They'll host Sacramento. Blowout of the ACC. Duke scored 52 in the first half. Beat Syracuse 85-71. Duke has won 4 straight. They were under 500. Very uncharacteristic for them. Earlier this month, Coliseum, Islanders beat Buffalo 3-2 on a J.G. Pageot power play goal with 5 minutes left. The Isles have won 3 of 4 since the 5-game losing streak. The Rangers are supporting their star player Artemi Panarin, who is taking a leave of absence. Story in his native Russia, accusing Panarin of beating up a girl a decade ago when he was 19. He denies it, says it's due to his outspoken criticism of the Kremlin. The Rangers coach, David Quinn.
Here is a team. These guys care for each other on and off the ice. This organization does a phenomenal job supporting everybody that works for it. And, you know, we're going to help Artemi through this difficult time.
Not known when Panarin will be back on the ice. Not known if the new Mets shortstop Francisco Lindor is here for just one season or if he'll sign a long-term contract. Said there have been no talks yet, but the hope is to get a deal done before opening day. The Padres just signed their shortstop, Fernando Tatis Jr., to the longest contract in baseball history, 14 years. Tatis yesterday called it a statue contract, motivated by the idea of playing that long in San Diego and then getting a statue of him built outside the stadium. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thank you. It's 6:37 now on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks and some of the names moving in the pre-market this morning. Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson joins me now as we continue to watch the tech sell-off this morning. Dave, I've seen quite a few headlines this morning involving Tesla.
Indeed, and the shares are down 6% in early trading. The electric car maker is headed lower for a 4th straight day. That would be the longest losing streak since October. It's actually below the price at which Tesla entered the S&P 500 index in December. Tesla fell yesterday by 8.6% after CEO Elon Musk tweeted that the price of Bitcoin seemed high. The company owns $1.5 billion of the digital currency. And you have Home Depot down 2%. The home improvement retailer declined to make forecasts after reporting fiscal fourth quarter results and raising its dividend by 10%. Now, Home Depot stopped giving guidance last May in response to the coronavirus pandemic.
Now, meantime, it almost looks like it's, what, full sailing ahead, smooth sailing for Carnival?
Well, you consider the shares are down 3.5%. It's certainly been smooth sailing for the stock lately, though. And as a result, the cruise line owner is raising $1 billion in a share sale. The price had jumped 26% in the past 5 trading days, and Monday's close was the highest in about a year. And you also have Shopify selling shares. The Canadian provider of software for online stores is down 6% as it sells about $1.6 billion of stock. both in its home country and the U.S. Some companies due to report results today. The medical device maker Medtronic is down 1%. The department store owner Macy's is down 3.5%. And the online payment company Square down 5.5%. Results from late yesterday. We've got Occidental Petroleum down 3%. The energy producer reported a wider fourth quarter loss and lower revenue than analysts expected. Occidental said last week's deep freeze in Texas would reduce first quarter production by more than 2%. Palo Alto Networks down 4%. Fiscal third quarter forecast showed profit and sales at the networking equipment maker may trail estimates. That said, Cadence Design Systems is up 2%. The software maker's fourth quarter results and first quarter forecast beat projections. The trash hauler Republic Services up 1.5%. Fourth quarter profit beat estimates, even though revenue only matched the average projection. And the industrial equipment maker Ingersoll Rand was up 3% in late trading yesterday. Haven't seen any deals today. That said, fourth quarter profit and revenue top projections. And then you have the case of, be careful what you wish for. You might get it when it comes to blank check companies. Specifically, most active stock in early trading, Churchill Capital 4, down almost 34%. The blank check company made a deal to merge with electric vehicle maker Lucid Motors. Combined company was valued at $24 billion. Now, here's the thing. Churchill 4 had soared as much as sixfold since we reported on the deal talks with Lucid last month.
Very interesting. All right, Bloomberg Stocks Editor Dave Wilson, thank you for all that. Really appreciate it. And taking a look at stocks as a whole this morning, tech shares selling off. That is the focus this morning with NASDAQ futures down 1.5%, down 196 points now. S&P futures are down 18. That's a decline of almost 0.5%. Dow futures, little change. They're down 20 points. 10-year Treasury little changed at the moment. The yield on the 10-year benchmark note, 1.36%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are falling, especially at NASDAQ futures, down about 1.5% right now. We go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. It's going to be a tough open for technology names today. Dow futures currently down 15 points. S&Ps are down 17. Well, the NASDAQ futures drop 196. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.37%. Gold is down 2. And Shanghai was a little changed overnight. While European markets are trading mostly lower this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 10 o'clock, consumer confidence and Richmond Fed. After the bell last night, Palo Alto reported shares are down 4% in the pre-market. And regarding earnings this morning, Home Depot comp sales and EPS beat estimates. In other news, Bitcoin sinks as much as 18%. Tesla is also under pressure, down 6% pre-market. And in deal news, Wells Fargo is selling its asset management business for $2.1 billion. Wrapping things up, Starbucks was raised to outperform at BMO, and Texas Instruments raised to outperform over at Raymond James. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
Karen, President Biden will seek to repair relations with Canada that have been strained by disputes over trade and an oil pipeline as he meets virtually with Prime Minister Justin Trudeau later today. President Biden's pick for health secretary faces 2 days of contentious Senate hearings. California Attorney General Javier Becerra will be grilled by two panels starting today. Research by the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis shows U.S. college enrollment of first-time undergraduates declined at the fastest pace in decades last year, down more than 13%. In sports, the Knicks and Nets each play at home tonight in front of fans for the first time. The Wizards beat the Lakers, and on the ice, the Islanders win. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Forget Bitcoin or Tesla. Muni bonds are the king of costly. I'm Brian Chapata, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. In typical times, February's sharp sell-off in treasuries, which has sent 10-year yields up almost 30 basis points, would have reverberated by now across the municipal bond market. Instead, tax-exempt yields have been immovable. They only finally budged towards the end of last week. By that time, muni bonds became arguably the most expensive asset class anywhere. Yields had fallen so low on top-rated tax-free debt that even after accounting for their tax exemption, it still made more sense for investors to purchase treasuries instead. It's fair to argue that Bitcoin isn't worth more than $50,000, or that Tesla shouldn't be trading at more than 1,000 times earnings, but it's at least possible to make the case that they should. It's not every day that a corner of the bond market rallies to such an extent that it's objectively a bad deal. One of the more troubling dynamics is that fund managers are reaching for extra yield. High-yield muni funds recently drew the second biggest inflow ever. As is often the case in fixed income investing, that strategy will work until it doesn't. I'm Brian Chapata. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories from our nation's capital include President Joe Biden mourning the 500,000 Americans lost to the pandemic in a candlelight observance at the White House. The president looking to ease strained relations with Canada. He holds a virtual meeting with Prime Minister Justin Trudeau later today, and Senate Intelligence Chairman Mark Warner preparing for the first public hearing on the massive SolarWinds cyber attack. Also making news this morning, the first congressional hearing into last month's mob incursion at the Capitol. For more on all this, we're joined by Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. And this, Emily, is likely to be the first of many hearings into what happened on January 6th.
Yes, Nathan, we've got the hearing today. We have another hearing later this week. We have the 9/11 style commission that Speaker Pelosi is working on. This is definitely just the tip of the iceberg, what we're going to see today, but it's definitely going to be a very interesting hearing. We're going to hear from the Sergeant House and Senate Sergeant at Arms, two individuals that we really haven't heard a lot from yet about what happened on that particular day.
What are we expecting to hear from them, as well as from the former Capitol Police Chief Sund, who was fired after January 6th?
Well, one of the things that I think a lot of people have questions on is exactly where breakdowns in communication came that day, why it took so long for National Guard troops to be deployed to come out to the Capitol, and why weren't they deployed sooner? I know that's a huge question that's been asked a number of times. It's something that former police chief Stephen Sund said that he asked for hours before that the National Guard actually showed up. We're also expecting at least a little bit of finger pointing today back and forth. There have been calls from some Republicans to hold Nancy Pelosi accountable for any role that she might have played in not having the Capitol ready for the mob that was coming. And so there's definitely a lot of interesting components of this hearing today.
And meantime, on the other side of Pennsylvania Avenue, President Joe Biden is getting ready to have his first virtual meeting with the Prime Minister of Canada. Not exactly the most smooth encounter that we've come to expect in the past between these two neighbors.
Yeah, you know, Biden and Trudeau, they both have a little more liberal-leaning policies. Certainly, the Trudeau administration is more in line with President Biden than they would have been with former President Trump. But there is some difficulty there, particularly in regards to the President Biden's cancellation of the Keystone XL pipeline. That's something that Trudeau was pretty upset about. They're trying to get to an agreement on that. However, they are expecting people both in Montreal and Washington are expecting the tone of today to be overall very positive between the two world leaders.
And finally, Emily, on top of all the hearings happening on Capitol Hill today, the first public hearing later this afternoon on something we haven't heard much about in recent weeks, but something that lawmakers are keeping a serious eye on, that massive SolarWinds cyber attack that affected government and business.
Right. The Senate Intelligence Committee is going to be holding a hearing today, looking into that a little more. They're going to have the CEO from SolarWinds. They're also going to have the firms who first detected and disclosed the cyber attack testifying. And they're really trying to sort of figure out here what happened. I mean, at this point, we're still even trying to figure out just how large and what scale this breach was at. It broke into networks in at least 9 federal agencies and about 100 private sector companies, some of them pretty big names. this is definitely something that we're going to be having the hearing today, and we'll also probably continue to hear about as far as the scope of this attack and what, if anything, the government needs to do.
Yeah, going to be very interesting to hear what comes out of that Senate intelligence hearing on top of Fed Chairman Powell testifying on Capitol Hill as well. Lots happening in the nation's capital. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, thank you for all this. Read more on all these stories at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal, and listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. At 6:54 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, a world-class polytechnic university that makes a real difference in the lives of its graduates and the businesses that employ them. More at njit.edu. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. NASA has released the first high-quality video of a spacecraft landing on Mars. It's a three-minute trailer showing the enormous orange and white parachute hurtling open and the red dust kicking up as rocket engines lower the rover to the surface. Six off-the-shelf color cameras were devoted to entry, descent, and landing. All but one camera worked. The lone microphone turned on for landing failed, but NASA got some snippets of sound after touchdown, the whirring of the rover's systems, and wind gusts. The Nature and Parks Authority has called it one of Israel's worst ecological disasters to date. A small Israeli task force scoured the sands of a nature reserve along Israel's Mediterranean coast, taking part in a widening effort to clean up a disastrous oil spill that has blackened most of the country's shoreline. Thousands of volunteers, soldiers, and park rangers have taken up the task of extracting millions of tiny globs of sticky black tar after an oil spill in the Mediterranean Sea. And Facebook is ending its news blackout in Australia. The government has agreed to amend its landmark legislation, forcing Facebook and Google to pay local publishers for content. That's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. February is Black History Month, and Bloomberg Radio is celebrating pivotal moments in U.S. Black history every day. Here with today's installment is Bloomberg's Renita Young.
On this day in Black history in 1979, Frank E. Peterson, Jr. is named the first Black general in the U.S. Marine Corps. He was determined to serve his country despite racial discrimination. Peterson first attempted to join the U.S. Navy, but was asked to take the entrance exam over because administrators believed he had cheated. In 1950, Peterson enlisted in the Navy, and 2 years later as a Marine, he completed flight school and was commissioned as a second lieutenant. Peterson went on to become the Marine's first Black aviator and served as commanding general for the Marine Corps Combat Development Command. Throughout his career, Peterson received several military awards, among them the Navy Distinguished Service Medal, Defense Superior Service Medal, and the Purple Heart. So in 1988, Peterson retired as lieutenant general after serving as special assistant to the chief of staff. That's Today in Black History. I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Renita, thank you. We're watching earnings from Macy's crossing the Bloomberg. And one of the things we're hearing from Macy's is that it's saying it sees the current year as a recovery and rebuilding year. And we'll be watching those shares this morning as well. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrell, and Lisa Abramowitz is straight ahead. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.